flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club Podcast. Whisakisa. It's her and her friends. And they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling.
Between. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Wrestle Club UK podcast. As always, my name is Sakisa, aka the head of the table. And this week, I've been joined by my very dear friend, Mr. Mark Crime, main event Mark Crime.
We're into Christmas month. It's exciting. Christmas. It's sort of Christmas. We're in December now.
It's Christmas.
Did you get an advent calendar this year?
No, I'm not doing that because I'm mostly not going to be in the country.
Oh, where are you off to?
She was off to Mexico.
Someone's doing well for themselves.
She is not doing well. She is broke.
Is that why she's going to Mexico?
Yeah. I am very, very broke.
I could do with going to Mexico.
But we will be bringing you back some tequila.
Oh, I'm not a big tequila guy, though. We've discussed this before.
I know.
You always bring me tequila.
Places. I know. But I feel like this one will be different because it's authentic.
Twix is always trying to get me drunk for those at home.
He's not complaining.
I'm not. I mean, she's trying and succeeding.
I'm succeeding very well.
Yeah. Cheers.
He drinks the beer that I just bought him.
You're such an enabler of my addiction.
Oh, it's okay. Well, this week we have had a Survivor Series War Games, which we obviously will talk about. But obviously we've had some post Survivor Series events that have happened on Raw. I will also briefly talk about AEW within this, as well as potentially TNA if we do have time. But this episode is mostly about War Games, Survivor Series. So let's kick into it now.
Let's go. What do you want to talk about?
The event that happened?
The whole event.
Did you watch it live?
I didn't watch it live. I watched it the next morning.
Okay. I tell you what, the reason why I bring that up is because I did watch it live.
Oh, did you stay up?
No, I was traveling back from Edinburgh.
Oh, you watched it on a train?
I was on a bus.
You're on a bus?
I was on a bus from Edinburgh back to London.
Oh, that's like an 11-hour bus.
It's an 11-hour bus.
You could have watched War Games four times.
I watched War Games and I watched Rampage. On the bus back.
Watching Rampage on a bus sounds bleak.
Oh, the bus was bleak, but obviously did get to watch it live.
Was it a Megabus or a National Express?
It wasn't even either of those.
Was it a Flix?
It was a Flix.
Fucking hell. You don't even got Wi-Fi in a Flix, have you?
No, it was a Flix.
Oh my God.
So she was using up her data to watch it. But I did really enjoy the fact that it was built up beforehand as such a big event. Survivor Series is always like one of the top four events of the year.
It was Mania, Rumble, SummerSlam, Survivor Series.
Yeah.
That's the original big four.
Yeah, it kind of fits in with the year, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It breaks it up very well. And obviously, War Games has been a staple within Survivor Series for the last 4 years?
Three, four years now?
Sami
Zayn's Mr. War Games pretty much now.
Yeah, he really is actually, isn't he?
He's one of the last three.
Also, I don't know if you saw on Instagram that William Regal was backstage and he did his War Games!
It's something wrong about the British accent saying War Games, isn't it? War Games!
War Games!
War Games!
War Games!
Ah.
Yeah. But
we love you, William.
We did figure out that obviously that one of the War Game matches would open up the pay-per-view, and considering that the Bloodline storyline was going to be is so prominent within WWE at this moment in time, we did open up with a women's War Games match.
It was okay. There were some interesting decisions made. Nia opening the match was a strain because I think the match really heated up and got quite good once everyone was in, and the home stretch was really fun. But I think the first half of it was quite plodding and just sort of there was nothing really happening. It was a bit.
It was, yeah. Like to be honest, the build up into it was really about, again, Rhea Ripley. They did build it like it was Bianca's team, but obviously it was Rhea's team.
Yeah.
And obviously the dysfunction within the team, Bayley coming in late. Obviously Jade got injured before.
Is she really injured?
She's not.
No. They just didn't trust her in
there. She got attacked backstage before War Games, so therefore they had to have a replacement, which was Bayley.
They've not yet revealed the attacker.
Obviously, I think we're going to find out what's SmackDown.
I don't think it's going to be anyone on the heel team. I think it might be Bayley.
I think it's either Bayley or Naomi.
Yeah, I think Bayley or Naomi could use a heel turn. Probably,
Bayley, Naomi, or Lash Legend.
Oh, because she got the spot in the
She got the spot, yeah. didn't she?
Or
but then she lost that
or
spot.
Or is there anyone to debut from NXT, it might be? Or just,
Only the women's champion.
Well, we shall. I reckon it's one of these things where I don't think they've even decided yet, and they're going to they're gonna do it on the fly.
It would have been very interesting if it had been Bianca, but obviously it's not.
I feel like this is all going to play into the Rumble.
Do you think so? Because obviously the next one after this, they're really building up Saturday Night Live. Maybe you'll find out then.
Saturday Night's main event.
My bad.
Saturday Night Live is the comedy show.
Sorry, I said that because I've been watching it beforehand aside. Saturday Night main event, which I hate that title anyway.
It is terrible.
It's a bad...
It's very 80s. It is very 80s. It's from the 80s, you know. But the match itself, I think, yeah, who didn't love as soon as Io comes out, as soon as she starts climbing with that bin.
Oh, the bin! I mean, the custom bin.
Our podcast friend Richard Wright was very negative about the bin spot. I wanted to do that every year. I wanted to do that in every match.
But it was a repeat, wasn't it?
But she did a moonsault this time.
Yeah. And the other side, Tiffy did a swanton bomb.
Tiffy did do a swanton bomb.
Which was kind of, it was meant to be in sync, and it wasn't really in sync.
No, it wasn't quite. But, you know, I think that's so they can get both. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I think it had the same criticism we had of it before of it. It didn't really feel like it needed to be a War Games match.
No.
Because, like, yeah, there were individual animosities, but it wasn't really a team versus team. It was, like, a bunch of stuff thrown together.
It was fun. Because also, what do you really do now? Like, coming up onto Saturday Night main event, obviously, Rhea Ripley got the pin.
Yeah.
Which was actually, I think, the last 7 minutes of the match was really the highlight of it.
Oh yeah, the ending was great, and Rhea was always going to get a pin in this match. She needs to be put back being strong. She's taken that belt back.
Yeah, she's obviously is.
And I still want her to wrestle Dom. That's all I want to see happen.
But I would rather her do it at WrestleMania.
Wrestle Dom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where we're going.
Because Io's going to face Liv Morgan on Saturday night, main event.
There's not a chance in hell that Io Sky's winning that match.
No.
Which might win it, but she ain't winning the title.
She ain't winning the title. Yeah. Maybe by disqualification.
Yeah. But, like, that's just, it's such a transitional match. Like, everything on that show, other than with the exception of Owens and Cody, feels like it's a foregone conclusion.
Mm.
But Owens and Cody could, you know. Balor's not fucking beating Gunther.
Well, we'll get onto that in a second. But I really enjoyed the fact that Rhea took off her mask.
Yeah.
Her supportive mask.
Also, that mask was fucking sick.
It was great. Yeah. I feel like it was a nod to our husband, Buddy.
We don't say his name on WWE TV, though, do we?
No, we don't.
What was his name in WWE? Was he Buddy Murphy in WWE?
Buddy Matthew.
Buddy something in WWE.
Buddy.
Buddy's an awful name. Buddy. Let's throw it out there. No one should be called Buddy.
Buddy.
Hey, Buddy.
Hey, Buddy.
You're not my buddy, guy.
I don't think it did anything to help Nia in this match, though.
I don't know what you can do to help Nia. I don't know why you put her in there for the... Like, first of all, she's the champion, so, like, her and Liv should be going in last and throwing out, like, you know...
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, in the... Well, we'll get to the men's ball game. But what I found was quite stark is when I said this to Richard on text... The gulf in talent between the face team and the heel team was quite. The face team is like has a lot better wrestlers than the heel team.
Yeah, I did feel bad for Candice. I did feel bad for. Yeah. No, I didn't actually feel bad for Tiffy. I think Tiffy was one of the highlights.
Tiffy's good at high spots and that, but she's still very new and very green. And Candice has not really wrestled big matches in WWE. Yeah. Nia's just Nia.
Liv's
just, you know, she's basically a champion for plot reasons. It all just feels a bit like, and it was the fifth member of the team. Someone could work, I don't know. I don't know. Either way, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot, but you see the star power was very much on the face team. Like Rhea's a superstar. Bianca Belair is like just the most gifted person I think I've ever seen. Talks great on the mic, moves incredibly well, so athletic.
It's amazing what she does in the ring. I actually love her. I will also say though, in terms of the Tiffy spot, I did really enjoy it, the fact that she brought in a bin.
Yeah.
Because they kept bringing in like weapons.
Not every single person has to stop and get a bloody weapon.
I know. Everyone was just bringing Raquel. That was
Raquel,
the person.
Yeah. She's strong.
Yeah, she's strong.
She's got big shoulders. I keep telling
us. The bodyguard of Liv at this moment in time.
But it's, I think, but everyone had to stop and bring a bin in, or like, but it just like, it really broke up the flow of the match. Quite yeah. A lot. Like, you know, I get, a couple of people doing that, sure, but every single one,
yeah.
Io bringing a bin, obviously, yeah. Had to, but you know, she had
it
her own
made
special bin.
Sense when. Initially, it didn't make sense when Tiffy brought in the bin. Mm. And then obviously when she revealed in the bin was the
that
briefcase.
Was great.
That was a great spot.
They really, and what I loved as well, the fire extinguisher, yeah, we're going mad with the fire extinguisher. And then like them doing that to disguise the handcuffing.
Yeah.
They didn't really do enough with the handcuff, but I thought that was a really sweet spot and really well put together.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it was good. It was fun. It was a good opener. I would have not started Nia in there, I think was a bit of a mistake. I mean, Bayley was the obvious choice because she's definitely going to run the fucking table of the match like that. But like,
yeah, obviously Rhea won and pinned Liv Morgan with the Riptide from the second rope through a table.
So we're going Liv versus Rhea soon. After
I'm assuming it's going to be Royal Rumble. Oh, actually, no, I've lied to you. I've got one better. The Netflix.
The Netflix debut night. Oh.
Netflix debut night. Rhea Ripley becomes champion.
Becky Lynch returns.
Ooh.
I know they've already done it before, but it's like, not saying they'll go to May, but it's like the stare down between them two on the Netflix, like kickoff will be like good.
The second match of the night was Shinsuke Nakamura versus LA Knight for the US Championship.
This was... from a character development point of view, I loved this match.
I love this match.
I love what the new presentation of Shinsuke is great.
Oh, let's just applaud that.
It really, it suits the fact that he's working this slower style nowadays, so he's not going to be as quick as he used to be.
The music changed.
The music changed, like the black mist. And
the entrance.
The fact that he beat him pretty clean as well, just because he threw him off his game. Like the fact, I love the play. The fact LA Knight dropping the belt was, you know, he's like, no.
Corey Graves.
He just dropped the belt, but Corey Graves smashed. Corey Graves, that was a great call.
Oh, we love Corey Graves.
Not just drop the belt. That's the amazing. But Corey smashed it. And, like, yeah, they really played in so well that Knight was off his game, couldn't get into Shinsuke's head. It was, it was really well done. I think I was surprised that Shinsuke won it. I thought they would have done, like, a, you know, Smalls finish and then they do another match down the line just kill some time for Knight, but I'm glad they put the belt on Shinsuke.
It was a shock for me because notoriously they have like downplayed Shinsuke in WWE for the last 5 years.
Yeah,
every time he's been in a program it's always to lose, but now he's been back, 2 weeks he's been back.
I mean, to be fair to the WWE, he has openly on record said he's just there to relax and surf. Like, he is doing the bare minimum. But when he wants to turn it on, he still can.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
I don't think we saw that.
I mean, and a new character, although I'm slightly worried, might be bordering slightly on racist. But it's... it's very much like, the sinister man from Japan, sort of. You're like, okay. I mean, it feels a bit 80s, but I think it's just on the right side of okay.
Yeah.
Any Japanese people listening that have a view on that, let us know, because I don't think we're the people to judge.
No.
But, I enjoyed it a lot. I think Knight's a bit stale for me.
He has become quite stale, hasn't he?
I think the idea of his character maybe introducing a little bit of doubt to it, you know, is quite good.
It felt like they did the same with Gunther.
Yeah.
They've put some doubt onto him, and LA Knight, as we said, his character is a bit... It was fine for like 6 months.
Yeah, but now it's just, you need to be more than the catchphrases now.
Yeah.
If when people were calling for him to be a main eventer, if you really want to carry that, then he has to now give us something else. Give us that little extra bit.
I feel like if he turned a little bit heel...
I think he's naturally is a heel.
I think it'll be better.
Everything about his presentation is heel. He's a prick to everyone.
Yeah.
I said this back when AJ Styles attacked him and everyone was like, oh, AJ's heel now. I was like, not necessarily. I'd smack LA Knight. Wouldn't you? Fucking.
Just everything. Yeah. Everything's a yeah. But we do have a new United States champion, and I'm very happy about it, to be honest with you.
I think it'll make it the Japan title. I think they'll go that route.
Oh, do you think so?
I don't know, but like, I love a little bit of that sort of stuff.
Just cover the US championship.
I love a little bit of that stuff. Because LA Knight's got his new belt as well. So, like, Shinsuke's going to get his own one.
Oh, I wonder what it's going to look like. That'd be quite exciting. Match three, we did have the Intercontinental Championship, which was obviously a triple threat match with Ludwig Kaiser, Sheamus, and Braun Breaker.
It's fight night, baby.
It's fight night, baby.
Say, Sheamus has low-key become one of the best workers in WWE history. I think he just consistently hits banger after banger after banger. Bron Breakker's a fucking freak of nature.
Oh.
That spear he hit going at a million miles an hour. The other week, when he, the singles match with Kaiser, where he ran into the table the other week.
Yeah.
The speed on Bron Breakker is just frightening along with the power. And look, if, I'm so glad that he's from someone that we used to watch him back in the Indies and watch him in WXW in Germany. I'm so pleased that Ludwig Kaiser's getting like a little bit of spotlight now and being shown. And it looks like Raw, he's going to get another match with Bron Breakker as well. So yeah, like I would have loved for Sheamus to have won the IC title.
I would have loved it.
And I half thought that maybe they were doing a triple threat just so Sheamus could pin Kaiser and
so did I.
And then Bron Breakker can go off and maybe even win the Rumble or do whatever he's going to do. Like, I think Breakker Gunter's the game at some point.
Oh, so soon?
WrestleMania, maybe.
So soon.
All right, well, we'll see what happens. I think it depends where the belts need to go for the moving parts for like the Punks of this
world. Yeah, so soon.
But I think I was hoping, but it was an absolute banger.
It was a banger. Way.
Kaiser proved his worth, I think, for the first time probably in WWE. He's got to have a proper moment to shine. Sheamus is always great, and Breaker's just a fucking star.
And I do love that they're continuously talking about the fact that this is the one belt that Sheamus has never got that he needs to get in order to complete. Obviously, I assume 2025, we are going to get a WrestleMania moment.
Sheamus has to win the IC title.
Yeah.
At some, like, and then probably retire. And I think he's wrestling great, but from everything you read, he's in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
But you know, also Cena's also not won the IC title, so that could be a bit of fun.
Oh!
Bit of fun for Cena's retirement tour. Oh. Sheamus and Cena both going after the IC title.
I was going to ask you about that in a second, but I'll talk about John Cena because it's obviously about the Netflix premiere and stuff like that. We still do have an Intercontinental Champion in Bron Breakker, and as we mentioned, he did appear on Raw with Ludwig approaching him, asking basically for another title match. And I think we're going to get that in about a couple of weeks' time, maybe at main event.
Well, I like what they're doing with Bron Breakker. He's a fighting champion. He's not really being portrayed as a heel or a face. He's just, I'm going to fight whoever comes at me. I'm happy to go. And I think they're kind of going that way with Gunter as well now. Mm. And I quite like that. I like, you know, they're just like, yeah, we're just hard. If anyone wants to beat us up, they can. And Breakker, as much as I'd like to see Sheamus win it, I think Breakker holding that title for a little while longer is not a problem.
Which is what I say WrestleMania.
Yeah. But I don't think it's Sheamus against Breakker WrestleMania. It feels a bit not right. It just doesn't feel like that's a WrestleMania match. I feel like Breakker needs to be doing something else, and someone else should have the IC title with him.
Okay, fine.
But they'll take it off Breakker in like a way that doesn't hurt.
Because I actually was a bit disappointed that they took it off Jay. I'm not gonna lie to you.
But that served its purpose.
I was disappointed. I thought you could have still done him in War Games with the IC Championship.
I mean, he says yeet a lot. I mean.
What does that mean?
I will submit that I think the Usos are arguably the best tag team in WWE history. I think they're way up there. As singles performers, I don't quite. I'm not just being he's over. Everyone loves him, but I don't quite get it. I just like he's okay. He's good. He's charismatic, but like, is he a lot better than anybody else in his position? No, but the crowd love him, so I'm obviously wrong. But like. I mean, he just seems to be a man. Maybe it's because I hate the word yeet.
Maybe, I think it
yeet is. It means like 20 YouTubers made it up to fro, right? Is that what it means? To yeet it? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So what does that mean? Is he using it in a different context? Am I just too old for this? Am I not the target audience of yeet?
I'm not going to lie to you. There's a lot of yeeting going on and I still don't understand.
Do you not know the meaning?
I just think it's a bit like, you know, when Stone Cold Steve Austin was just like, yeah.
What you mean?
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
You know when Stone Cold Steve Austin was like, what?
Do you not know what yeet means?
No.
But you're like, you know, no, you seem like you'd know more than me about it.
What, is it because I'm black?
Entirely because you're black. No. You're also just a bit more cool.
No. You're the second person to say that to me this week, and I'm like, I'm not that cool.
I thought you were going to say ever then. If only two people have called you cool in your life, you're probably not cool. This week, all right, I'll give you that.
This week, no.
Ever.
And I'm like, how can I be cool when I spend a lot of my time, maybe 80% of my time, watching wrestling?
Yeah, we are nerds at heart.
Yeah, we are nerds at heart.
Attractive nerds. We're better looking than the average nerds at home. You, the ugly nerds at home, take notice. This is better than you.
Oh, wow. Mm. Wow. That's why we're single.
Get married or something. Really,
we should get married together.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's
have some wrestling.
Let's go to Vegas at WrestleMania and get married.
That'd be good content for the podcast.
It would be content. Just me and Mark. If you want to see me and Mark, go to Vegas, watch WrestleMania, and then get married. Please donate now. We're more than happy to do that.
It'd be better than what I did to you last time we were in Vegas. never heard of this story. I vomited on Sakisa.
I'll tell you why I'm laughing so hard. It's because of how you presented that intro there.
It could have been worse.
It could have been worse.
It was bad, but it wasn't as bad as some of you were thinking.
Oh, I love that. So, yeah, we have to do Vegas right, again.
Vegas wedding.
Vegas wedding.
I'll put it in the calendar.
Thank you very much. Right. Next up, we do have the match that I thought was probably the one I didn't really care about most on the bill, personally. For myself, was Damian Priest versus Gunther for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
We went to that awkward period of the Gunther title reign where it just feels like, yeah, I like that they're presenting a little bit of self-doubt in him and stuff like that, but it's kind of like you knew he wasn't going to lose it, but you knew he probably wasn't going to win clean, so in comes Balor to interfere. What I did like was Gunther clearing out Balor.
Yeah,
it wasn't like, I don't need your fucking help, I'm going to kick you in the face. So Gunther didn't like, it wasn't like Gunther was beat and Balor saved him. It was, Priest was on the outside hurt.
Yeah.
So like Gunther was in control, so he didn't need the help. So they kept Gunther strong, kept Priest strong, and now you've got this new contender in Balor. Again, it just feels like it's another guy for Gunther to beat in this now, I guess, tweener role they've got him in now as well.
Well, this is the thing. I feel like his intercontinental reign was so much better than this current reign.
Well, I think the challenges he had a lot more interest, because The Miz and him had some really excellent matches, and obviously Sami Zayn was a great match, and he beat Jey Uso and he beat everyone else, and it was Sheamus and Drew McIntyre that was made a freeway. And I think there was a lot more interesting challenge. I think the problem is with the main event scene on Raw. The main eventers on Raw aren't really interested in the title right now. So the Punks, the Rollins, the McIntyres, who are the proper main eventers, are sort of doing Sami's out. They're sort of doing something else. So they've all been involved in Bloodline and fucking around with each other. So Gunther sort of skated by, and he's just beating whoever else is around.
Which is not
and
a lot.
Priest isn't a main eventer anymore. Balor's not really a main eventer anymore. I don't know who you go. I think after Balor, I think as you get into Rumble season, you're going to start seeing that belt emphasize. I mean, they're keeping it relevant. He's defending it and doing stuff, but it feels a bit like
it does feel like now it's the second.
It does feel like he's beating the B team very much.
Yeah,
right. And no disrespect to Priest or Balor, because I think they're both terrific. And I was not sold on Priest for a long time, but I think he's really won me over. But Balor and Priest won me over in that Bad Bunny match more than they.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Balor and Priest, the great workers, they're very good at what they do, but they've not been presented as threats for like. I know Priest was champion, but he wanted their money in the bank cash in.
Even when he had the belt,
Drew's never really gone after it again. Why would Drew not be going after the belt? Because he's got obsessed with CM Punk. But that's the thing. The main focus of the main eventers on that show is it's fucking CM Punk. It's not the belt.
Which makes you think, why is that not?
Yes, the belt needs to transition to them. But at the same time, you don't want to beat Gunther for it. So it's Gunther's going to carry on beating. I don't know who you give him next after Balor. He's not going to lose. Give him Dom. Dom. He's already beat Dom this week. So I don't know who.
Who else? Well, we do still have our world heavyweight champion in Gunther. But our last match was obviously the main event. It was Bloodline versus Bloodline in War Games.
It was great.
Oh.
I enjoyed it a lot. I think they got the entrance order about right. I think it speaks volumes that they hired Tid Tongaloa to be the second to last guy in. Because obviously he's not gonna, the last guy, had to be solo.
But they
basically kept Tongaloa out of the match as long as possible.
Can I just say, with Tama Tonga opening this match, with him climbing that cage around when he entered was ridiculous, but also creepy and also great.
I like, he really is like, almost like ham horror levels of acting. He's I think he's great. He's a lot of fun. Shame he's lumbered with a talentless brother. But we've all seen it. He botches everything he does.
Woo!
Although I will say, got through that match without fucking up.
Yeah.
Which is all we can really ask him in that situation. But yeah, I mean.
But Jacob Fatu.
I mean, other than the slip on the ropes. But, happens to the best
slip on the ropes, but also.
He was. And the way they talk about him in commentary, he's just, and also an injury for him is not the worst thing, as long as it's not serious, not the worst thing in the world right now. Because I think Jacob Fatu is kind of now the Bloodline thing, I guess, takes a bit of a back burner for a little while. A little bit of less is more on Jacob. Bronson Reed, by the way, as well, has been rehabbed in the space of the last 3 months better than any fucking character. He was nothing.
Yeah, no.
And now he's presented as just as, I have never seen a table explode like that.
But I love the fact that how you know how when some people are very much like, well, I'm going to do this and this, this and this and this to be seen.
Mm.
And that's obviously why he attacked Seth Rollins in the first place, to be like, I want people to know who I am.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know who you are now. I know.
Big Bronson
Reed. Yeah, you're big Bronson Reed.
Right, so he hit, well, possibly like, well, we probably need to talk about the whole narrative, but like the Punk Roman thing.
Oh, yeah.
The, just the stopping Punk coming out of the cage and then Punk barging past Roman. It was,
I don't know if you saw WWE have released what you didn't see after that.
Oh, I've not seen this.
What? Oh, it's basically seeing Punk just in the corner, just being like his back to face Roman Reigns.
Well, I thought the angle they were going to Punk was going to refuse to go in, like, instead of Roman. But then he barged past Roman instead.
But then Roman Reigns just side-eyed in him all the whole time.
But also, when Roman got into that cage, just looking like a fucking absolute boss.
Oh,
like, just,
that's
just,
my husband. That's my husband.
The way he just destroyed the ball and then went into the other ring. Oh, by the way, I loved this. I'm not criticizing him for it, but it's one of those things where it made no sense in the context and the rules of the match. When he gets in the cage, he beats everyone up, and he walks in the cage, and then lifts up all the Bloodline guys, except Punk, which again was a nice touch.
Yeah.
And then they went, and now the War Games man, he's been in the match for a minute and a half already.
I know. I was like,
just wait until they're all standing up looking at each other. They could have pinned him at any time.
Because it happened in the women's one, and they did it straight away.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it took them a bit. I was like, well, we're not starting this War Games match.
I get they did it for presentation. It was great to see like the five of them standing there staring at each other. But it was just a bit like, it was like,
he's already been in it.
He's been in this match for quite a while. He's been pitting spears and pro Superman punches.
And I did really enjoy it in comparison to the women's match, that not everyone was bringing in chairs. And actually, no, I'll tell you what. The bit where, who was it? Someone brought in a whole bunch of chairs and...
Jacob. Yeah. But that's Jacob Fatu. And I like the fact they got Tongalo just was Jacob Fatu kept asking for tables. From again, Jacob's just like shouting and every now and then, I love you, Solo.
Yeah.
But I think...
Oh, can I just give a shout out to Jimmy?
I'm so pleased he got the moment.
Yeah.
Because, like, Jay's had so much given to him.
Yeah.
It was nice to see Jimmy get the big splash off the top. Apparently hurt himself, but I think...
No, but it was... I was like, what? Okay, Jimmy's upped his game.
At first I thought, oh, that was Jay. I was like, oh, no, it's Jimmy. Jimmy's going up. And it was great to see. I loved the table spot on Bronson Reed. I loved the timing on Punk pulling him. That's something that CM Punk, by the way, if you go back and watch the Darby Allin match he had in AEW, when he sat up off the coffin drop and it misses by that much. He has such an intense of timing of just getting to these things at exactly the right time. Because it wasn't one of these ones where you see someone get pulled and then they
obvious,
jump.
It's obvious.
Like, you were never going to hit him. It was like he was in the air when he got yanked
up. It was so close.
And I like that they played that narrative throughout, and like Punk earned Roman's trust. Even I thought they were going to do it because Roman hit him with a spear. And Punk didn't be like, oh, you hit me with a spear. It was like, he was like, oh no, that was clearly an accident.
Yeah.
I like the narrative of the match. I like the lingering thing of what is the favor that Paul Heyman's going to owe CM Punk. I have a feeling they might not even decide what that is yet, but it's going to be.
I did have during the match though, something in me, and I've mentioned this on the podcast before, the pit of me was praying that Paul Heyman did not turn during this match, because a part of me did think original Bloodline was not going to win just because of the impact of Paul Heyman. I thought something was going to happen. I was praying to God that it didn't happen, and luckily it didn't.
What do you think happens now?
It's about...
Because Reigns, I assume, takes a little bit of time off again. Now.
No, I'm assuming it's going to be one-on-one.
What, Reigns and Solo for Ulufala?
Yeah. No.
At what, Rumble?
Saturday Night Live?
Saturday Night Main Event.
Why do I keep doing that?
They're not going to have engaging sketch comedy against
each other. Saturday Night Main Event.
I don't know, maybe. I mean, I think
that's the whole point of it, isn't it? That how...
Do you reunite the Usos as a tag team?
No.
So I think they're keeping on separate shows. So.
Separate shows.
Sammy's group seems to be going into...
Oh, actually, but talking about separate shows, we're going into the Netflix era.
Mm, it's complicated.
It's complicated because you obviously want to have...
They want Cody, they want Roman.
They want your best
both
people.
Both of them are on SmackDown.
You want Jay.
Who's on Raw.
Mm.
They want, they've got a Cena.
You want CM Punk.
CM Punk's on Raw, so they're going to be right with that one. But like, it's interesting how they're going to handle the fallout of the Bloodline thing. I'm really looking forward to SmackDown this week and seeing what they've done. Raw, they didn't really address much of it. It was more about how Drew and Seth felt about the whole thing. But yeah, we'll get onto Raw.
Yeah, we're going to get onto Raw. But how do you, before we do that, how do you all overall feel about War Games this year?
I think it was really good. I think there wasn't a bad match on the card. Mm. I think there was stuff that was a bit of a foregone conclusion, but it was fun. Like, the big matches, they had, again, the beauty of this era is they had five matches. They all delivered. and that was what they needed to do, because they're not just putting on random fucking matches for no reason. I don't need like The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler. I know that Dolph Ziggler doesn't work anymore, but you know what I mean? That's the archetypal sort of match that gets friends or pay-per-view for no reason.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about Raw now, considering the aftermath of what happened at Survivor Series. And so let's just do that now, shall we? Woo! We are going to kick it off.
Are we going to break my heart, or are we going to wait for that?
No, we're gonna start with the break heartbreak.
Oh, my God.
We're going to start with the heartbreak. The heartbreak. Obviously, it was the 10-year anniversary of the New Day. They built it with a lovely video package. That video package was amazing.
Shows you what they've accomplished over the last decade. You know, storyline aside, what they've done, especially Kofi's position where he was floundering, not doing a lot. Biggie and
Jamaican. Woods, yeah, remember that.
Biggie and Woods were about to get fired. Mm. And they've been there for 10 years. They've like run a tag team. Like, for, I mean, you know, Biggie's been on for the last couple of years. But it's been incredible what they've managed to do. And like, they two of them have won world titles off the back of it, which they never would have won without that group.
Xavier
won a King of the Ring, which he definitely never would have won without that group. And it's incredible. The video package was great, and it's great to see them acknowledged. But then,
what I found interesting about this is that obviously when the video package had aired, they showed them both walking separately to the rings, which kind of was like in terms of the tension that had been going on in the last couple of weeks.
I don't think anyone saw. What was going to happen though?
Well, I don't know. You don't listen to podcasts when you're not on it. But last week I had talked about the possibility of one turning, as we kind of thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
But both of them turning.
But I mean, no one had Kofi Kingston turns heel in 2024 on their bingo card.
Like, I kind of called it last week.
But Kofi Kingston, like,
both of them,
the archetype babyface in WWE, hasn't been the heel other than the brief period when New Day were heel at the beginning, which was what they're more comedy heels. Yeah. They were, you know, it was insane. Like,
yeah, so they both obviously came to the ring. It kind of felt like they were about to like announce they were splitting up.
Yeah.
Because they were like, this is not your fault, all this. And then we did hear Big E's music come down.
Which, by the way, I'd forgotten was Big E's music because it's been a while and he only had that music for about 10 minutes.
I thought it was going to be, hey!
Yeah, that would have been more fitting for the, you know, don't you dare be sour!
Yeah, I thought it was going to be that.
But it was good to see him. And
he looked well.
He looked well. And then they broke our hearts.
Yeah, they basically turned on Big E, said that he left them, and despite the injury, he went on to his office job, his desk job, was more concerned about the desk job, more concerned about
his
the fans, more concerned about the girlfriend. The girlfriend line was the one that...
No, the one that killed me was, you broke your neck, so what?
Yeah.
It's like fucking wow. And from Kofi and Xavier has been like teasing that heel persona, but Kofi sort of now has just gone, you know, we're not, fuck it. Like, it is your fault. We don't want to blame ourselves.
Because then obviously during this, the reason why Big E had come out is because he was going to announce he was going to be managing them. Because he didn't want to see the New Day split up anymore. And then obviously they were like, well, we don't need you. Well, we haven't needed you for a while.
Well, he's achieved that because they're not splitting up. When they said it's just me and you now, Heel New Day is going to be an interesting...
The music. Can we talk about what the music's going to be? I feel like it's going to be like a Kanye West-esque, Kendrick Lamar, you know?
Because this isn't going to be like old Heel New Day when it was comedy. This is Heel New... This is Heel Nuclear Heat New Day.
This is... We know we're great. And I feel like this heel New Day is what the Street Profits should have done.
Yeah. So what we're going to get to now is Balor and JD are going to lose the belts to a face team in the next couple of weeks because they've pretty much just said they're going to defend it and they're going to lose it to a face team. So and that face team has been given those belts to lose them to a heel New Day, I think. But the question remains, is this Big E thing just to turn New Day heel, or is this Big E thing because Big E might be close to an in-ring return?
Well, he has spoken about this before, that how he would be risking himself to return back to ring. But we obviously have seen other people.
Yep.
Bryan Danielson.
Edge. Edge. Soraya. Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, they've all been written off and come back. But as you said, what Big E has said, he wouldn't risk it if there was any doubt. The question is that doubt now gone? And have doctors told him sort of unanimously, you're actually going to be okay? I hope it's that, because a face Big E going up against Woods and Kofi would be fucking fun.
But it'd be one on two, wouldn't it?
Well, Big E could find a friend. He's a very likable man.
His girlfriend.
His girl, bring his girlfriend in, though.
Keith Lee.
Keith Lee is not coming back to WWE. You want health problems? Fuck me, that fucker's in problem. But they are.
I'm just saying that because they're both dating. They're dating siblings.
Oh, really?
That's what they.
I did not know this.
Yeah, the girlfriend is
Oh, them girls like them big. that's a lot of weight to be pushing on top of you right there.
Hey, don't discriminate.
They could be climbing.
I am really looking forward to seeing what happened next, especially going into the next era. Yeah. How the New Day maneuver into this,
I think,
heel situation, which we're not expecting.
Especially as an actor, undoubtedly great for what they've done, but in the last couple of years have been relatively stale. They've not really had a lot for them to do, which, you know, it's not their fault. It's just they've been a tag team for 10 years. You know, there's only so many things you can do with them, and the tag team division has not been a focus of the company for a long time.
Yeah.
But since the Usos split up, they didn't know anything to do. It's great to see New Day being prominently featured and doing something interesting, and I really am just intrigued to where this is going to go.
Well, speaking about the New Day and the Usos, I'll tell you what I would like to see. WrestleMania. The New Day heel versus Usos.
So Biggie and Jay?
No.
Biggie and Jimmy?
No.
Oh, the Usos?
The Usos. Oh, actual Usos.
Oh, I mean, yeah, you mean, but we've seen it all before, but yeah.
I know, but they're so great.
But then you said you didn't want to put the Usos back together.
I know, but now I've said it.
No, you do want them back.
No, okay. I want them back.
I mean,
just for this reason.
I would like to see Biggie. If Biggie can come back, I'd like to see New Day versus Biggie and a partner, and that partner's Jay Uso. It'd be like back, it fits up with the history, you know. It's like their tag team, like, especially like, I respect you. They've played that whole line before, so it's like, yeah, you want a partner, I'm your partner.
I don't know. Other things that happened this week on Raw, we did have confrontation between Rollins and obviously Sami Uso. We the ones, Sami Uso. Obviously, Seth is not happy with Sami.
You know what? And it's one of these beautiful things that's similar with the Kevin Owens thing, and it's similar with the Drew McIntyre thing. It's like, it all makes sense. It makes sense that Seth Rollins would be pissed off about this. It's like, I spent years fighting the Bloodline. I fucking hate Roman Reigns. Why are you going back and enabling these people? And I hate CM Punk. You're meant to be my friend. Why are you helping him? And then it makes sense from Zayn's point of view as well, because he can push back and go, well, we asked you and you said no.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then to Rollins' point, why would I fucking help Roman Reigns? It's all logical, and it all makes
Sammy
sense.
Sami being like, you're the one that made him this way.
And then Punk's just there, as always, as a fucking agent of chaos that he is in this fucking company, coming in basically like, you've been thinking about me for a year. I don't think about you at all.
That was a great line.
Well, when he said to him, six months ago, you were a champion. Now you're not. You don't have anything I want. it's absolute evisceration of Seth Rollins, isn't
exactly.
It?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like... It makes sense from Punk's point of view, because he said his only reason his back is to main event WrestleMania, and he's not doing that with Seth Rollins if Seth Rollins isn't a champion.
No.
So it's kind of like, yeah, it all makes sense. I love it. And also it just led to a fucking stellar match between Sami Zayn and Seth Rollins.
A stellar, but shorter match than what we expected, because before this match, obviously Jay got attacked backstage, which fired up Sami, and he kind of felt that it was Rollins who did it. And during the match, he went out, got a chair, brought it into the ring, basically was like, I'm going to hit you with it. And Rollins was like, I wouldn't do that. Why would I do that? You know, it wouldn't be me. Why don't you watch CM Punk? Like,
I mean, that made no sense. Yeah. Punk literally makes no sense for me, CM Punk.
But then
we think we know who it is now.
We think we know. I think we've all solved that mystery, because obviously...
Iron Drew is back, baby.
After Rollins got the roll up and got the pin from Sammy, we did have... A claymore, just a big old claymore in the middle.
Back. And he's big, Scottish, he's sexy, he's fucking great on the mic. If he's not world champion again within the next year, something's gone horribly wrong. Drew McIntyre's back, baby. And it was, and again, it all makes sense. It makes sense he'd be pissed off with Sami Zayn, and I assume he's Shaq Jay Uso as well. Because after everything, they're teaming with Punk, they're teaming with Reigns. It's like, and it's the same thing with Kevin Owens. It's like all three of them. And I think that's going to be an alliance at some point, Rollins, McIntyre, and Owens, because they're all making the same point. It's like, why is everyone helping the fucking Bloodline all the time?
Yeah.
Like, we spent years fighting the Bloodline, and now everyone's like, don't worry about it, it's all fine. Like, Cody, fucking Punk, well, Punk's probably not so much, but like, Zayn, Jey Uso. It's like, why are you now all back on their fucking side?
Do you think this is just a little, like... distraction before obviously Royal Rumble?
I think it's to build up heat for Raw.
Yeah.
Because I think all these guys are going to be in Raw Rumble.
Obviously.
So you're looking at, and who's going to win it? You know, so I think this is the Punk story. I think Punk's going to win the Raw Rumble. I'm calling that early now. I don't think it's a massively bold prediction. I think, you know, it makes sense for CM Punk to win it. The fact that he checked it, you know, that he pointed to the invisible sign.
He pointed to an invisible sign.
How conditioned are we as wrestling fans? We know exactly what he was pointing to. That's what it is. That's where it is. But yeah, I think Punk for the Rumble, but McIntyre in the Rumble. And it's building up to be a good Rumble because you have McIntyre in it. You have, you'll have probably KO in it. You'll have Sami Zayn. You'll have Seth Rollins. And these are all guys that storyline wise have a legit, could win it, you know, sort of vibe about them. Like, it's nice to have an open Rumble because the last 2 years it's been pretty obvious Cody was going to win it. So this year it's nice to have something a little bit more open.
Well, you're calling...
I'm calling Punk.
You're calling Punk. I actually am calling Reigns.
Calling Reigns. Now, this is the interesting thing with Roman Reigns, isn't it? Now, are they going to wait to WrestleMania to blow off Sokoa Reigns? Probably not. Do you go Cody Reigns again? But this time, in which case, you know, you don't necessarily need Reigns to win the Rumble to get there. Or is The Rock, I mean, it seems to be, from what I hear, The Rock's not going to be at Mania now. So that looks like that the window. So Reigns' match is probably Cody? Or do you go Reigns... Punk, as that's been kind of hinted at as well in the last few weeks, you know, with the I owe you a favor, all that stuff, you know.
The reason why I say this, because it leads into the I owe you a favor situation. Reigns wins the Rumble.
Right.
That's his route to WrestleMania.
So Punk has to win a belt to face Reigns before Mania.
But Reigns is obviously going to face Cody. CM Punk is like, trying to get to WrestleMania.
So here's the main event, WrestleMania.
His favor is, you give me your title opportunity.
His favor, Heyman owes him the favor, not Reigns.
Yeah, so but...
The thing is, it feels like it's going to be Punk Rollins. Otherwise, Rollins is just looking like such a little bitch at this point. He's getting left out and ignored and told that you don't matter. So that means Rollins, that means you have to get the belt off Gunther to do the other belt.
Yeah, because this is the thing, what belt is CM Punk going to go after? Because I don't think he's going to go after Gunther's one. I don't think he's going to go World Heavyweight Champion.
Like, that's the thing, like, there's so many moves, and that's why there's so interesting, right? There's so many moves, because you need two main events for WrestleMania. Unfortunately, I think the women are out this year. I don't think any of them are getting, just the storylines aren't there right now. No disrespect to anybody working, but I just don't think there's a storyline that's going
to
be.
Unless it's Bianca. I would love to see Bianca Rhea.
A lot would have to happen.
Bianca Rhea would be the match for me.
But if CM Punk has pretty much got in his contract that he's going to main event WrestleMania, Cody's definitely going to main event WrestleMania. So you're kind of at, yeah, but he's going to. So it's, unless it's Cody Punk, and that feels like a weird stretch to get to. I'm not saying that's impossible. I'm not saying that wouldn't be good. But then what does Roman Reigns do at WrestleMania? So unless The Rock's there, or you're going to drag out Sokoa until Mania, then you're kind of like, well, and then like, do I want to see Reigns Sokoa at Mania? Not really.
No, I want
to. Jacob Fatu, maybe. Mm.
I would love to see Drew Gunther at WrestleMania.
Exactly. There's so many moving parts to this now.
Anyway, we'll see what happens. What else happened on Raw? Oh, question for you. Who should win? Because we've already kind of figured out who should win the United States Women's Championship. Chelsea Green.
Yeah.
Who would you want to win the Intercontinental? Women's Championship.
Huh. Well, since he's not here to say it for himself, Richard would say Natalia.
She's not in the tournament.
She is in the tournament.
Is she?
She's very much in the tournament. We're going to pull out the bracket for the tournament. What we got?
What?
So no. We've had one winner so far. We've got Dakota Kai for into the semifinals.
Yeah.
Give me some brackets.
Brackets. We just had Dakota.
Dakota's one, she's free. Yeah. So we've got left.
Zoe Starks, Raquel.
I'm slow. Zoe Starks, no.
Raquel?
No.
Kayden Carter?
Definitely not.
That's the next set of matches. So someone's got to win out of that.
That's not everyone, is it?
No.
Yeah.
Lyra Valkyrie?
I thought you meant overall winner. Lyra Valkyrie, possibly.
Zelina?
No.
Ivy Nile?
No.
Alba Fire?
No.
Kairi Sane?
Maybe.
Natalia?
You know what? Now you read the list, Natalia's looking pretty hot, and that is, isn't she? Do you not think? Like, that's a bit of a reward. She's been there a long time. She's not had too many title reigns. I think if you want to establish that as like a new belt, I think putting on the tally is not the worst way to go. Kairi's a decent shout. Like Raquel's actually possible. I said no, but Raquel's possible.
The one I think it's final wise, I think it is going to be Dakota and Lyra.
They're quite hot on Lyra.
Yeah.
Like they had to go to the final.
And I think it's going
to
be Lyra.
I think Lyra's a decent show. I think for me, I like Lyra. Richard would want to say Natalia. I think Raquel Rodriguez is a possibility.
Nah.
Because she's just hench. And I think Dakota Kai's not beyond belief.
Mm.
Yeah, but I feel like the US title tournament seems a little more interesting than the IC one to me. I think I'm just a bit more invested in Chelsea.
So am I.
We're a Chelsea Green fan club on the podcast, as you all should be.
Oh, you should be. Last but not least, I'm just going to talk briefly about AEW. Currently, they are building up to the end of the year. Certain things are happening. The most interesting thing for me at this moment in time is the
international.
It's the
Continental Cup.
It's the Continental Cup.
I do love a tournament. I definitely love like a round robin bracket tournament, like what we call it, a Japanese style tournament. Yeah. Let's call it what it is.
Can I just say that Kyle Fletcher, off the win from Ospreay, is looking great in it.
Kyle Fletcher is, you know, for fans of UK independent wrestling, even though they're Australian, when him and Mark Davis came over to the UK, they weren't even a tag team. They put together a tag. Aussie Open fucking basically held every independent tag team title in Europe at one point because they were that good. They've gone to America. Unfortunately, Mark Davis has got hurt. But Kyle Fletcher has just established himself as being an absolute fucking superstar. And he beat Will Ospreay. Oh, he obviously didn't beat him clean, but he beat Will Ospreay, which is massive. But I mean, Ospreay doesn't need to win that tournament.
Yeah.
Who are you picking? Are you picking Kyle? I mean, they could have a card repeat. What's your...
It's at the tournament, I would love if it was Ospreay. I don't think it will be.
I mean, Ricochet's lost to Claudio already.
Yeah.
I mean, Claudio, I think, is not a bad shout. Like, he doesn't need it, but... Yeah, I think it's difficult because I don't think there's anyone in the tournament who's screaming out to win it. Kyle Fletcher, maybe, is a good, like, heel champion. But I think maybe Okada winning it again could be on the cards.
Well, he didn't win it last year. He's just got the belt.
Yeah. Okada's taking the title, then, yeah.
Yeah. Then we are still dealing with the Death Riders on AEW, which I still don't understand.
Jon Moxley's angry. He's angry at the world. He didn't like it in WWE, doesn't like it in AEW, didn't like it in New Japan. He's just an angry man married to a delightful woman. I don't know what he's got to be miserable about. We all love Renee.
I know, we love Renee.
You could be happy. Why just be happy, John? What's wrong with you?
Just be happy. You've got a lovely daughter. She looks gorgeous.
I mean, Pac's miserable, but that's fine. We know that's to be expected. He's from the Northeast. Of course he's going to be miserable. No one's happy in Newcastle.
And Claudio is Swiss.
They don't have any strong opinions either way, obviously. Very neutral, man. Wheeler is, I don't know, there. If anyone's career is summed up better by the phrase, he's there. It's Wheeler Yuta. He's lucky to be there, isn't he? Wheeler's decent. He just feels a bit out of place in the whole thing.
He just feels like the sacrifice.
Everyone's like hard bastards and Wheeler's just sort of there.
I am intrigued to see what they're going to do at the end of the year because they do have one more pay-per-view to go and we'll see how they're going to shape up into their new year. I will just say this one thing at this moment in time. Shelton Benjamin is on fire.
Had a cracker of a match in the first round of the Continental Cup.
Had a cracker of a match this week as well with Kyle Fletcher, even though Kyle Fletcher cheated. But, you know.
Kyle Fletcher might win the whole thing. But like I'm liking the Hurt. Sorry, I wasn't say Hurt Business, but Hurt Syndicate. I'm amazed WWE didn't do more with this act because MVP is fucking incredible. Do you see him at the press conference after?
Oh, it was great.
I thought he didn't know any podcasts or whatever. MVP's a fucking superstar. Bobby Lashley looks like he chills out of granite. Shelton Benjamin is an incredible athlete.
Yeah.
Cedric Alexander was there, but he's not. I think they've got rid of Cedric, so it's probably they've got rid of the worst bit. But I'm happy for that they're being prepared.
He's been downgraded
so
to NXT.
But it does feel a little bit like, again, it's a lot of moving parts in AEW with no real sort of where are they going, who's going to win. Like, there's no story in the Continental Cup, other than Kyle Fletcher, there's not really any story in the Continental Cup where you're going, well, they're going to win because of these reasons.
I understand that. But I do. It's just a tournament for the sake of it.
You know what? Watching it because they're putting on some bangers of matches in this tournament, and I like that. I mean, that's what AEW's for, isn't it? They just put good matches.
Yeah.
Which is great. Well, it's great that's an alternative that exists.
Well, let us know your thoughts about the Continental Championship tournament, as well as your thoughts about Survivor Series. Which War Games was the favourite one for you? Initially, I thought it was actually the women's one, but I've watched them both twice now because I'm that girl. And I've actually gone back to the Bloodline one.
How were you going for the women's one? The last half of the women's one was pants.
I think it's because, like, I really enjoyed the second half more than... Yeah. But then it's obviously Bloodline, and obviously my husband was in.
How do you feel about Jacob? Is he husband material?
No, he's too scary for me.
Okay, he's a scary man.
He looks like he would eat me alive.
He does, like, yeah. He's
and actually, maybe I would like that. Hey!
You like a Samoan man, don't you?
She does.
If you're a Samoan man and you're single and would like to get in touch with the podcast, Skeet is available. And I'm available to film for a... limited fee. I mean, it is my future wife you'll be fucking.
So. He would enjoy that. And on that note, this has been another episode of the Wrestle Club UK podcast. Please do like and subscribe to tell your friends. And obviously do follow us on our YouTube page as well, where you can see what we look like in person.
You don't want that for me.
Wrestle Club podcast.
A flying clothesline, a 2x4 to the face. Then she hits you with a turnbuckle splash. Wrestle Club podcast with Sakisa. It's her and her friends, and they talk about wrestling, every kind of wrestling. Woo!